Today is Juneteenth, a day commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans. The day has special meaning in Africatown, a small community in Mobile, Alabama, founded by African captives brought on the last slave ship to the United States. Residents say the recent discovery of the remains of that ship, the Clotilde, is reviving interest in preserving their heritage. NPR's Debbie Elliott reports.
Lorna Wood's great-great-grandfather, Charlie Lewis, was brought to Mobile on the Clotilde, thought to have arrived sometime around 1859 or 1860. Now, she tells his story as a volunteer with a local history museum.
I tell people they didn't come here as free men. They came in chains.
Standing on the downtown corner that was once the city's slave market, Woods holds up the rusty shackle she found under an old box spring in her grandmother's house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Woods says for a long time, mostly out of fear, her ancestors kept the story of the Clotilde closely guarded. She learned about it sitting on her grandmother's front porch in Africatown, a community just north of downtown, settled by the West Africans smuggled here on the Clotilde.
And they built that little town from just about nothing, just from the bushes and the trees they cut down. They made a place where they could carry on their history from Africa. And their children would be able to see that they wasn't lazy, they wasn't good for nothing, but they had a lot of pride.
Interest in Africatown has been on the rise since Clotilde's survivor Cudjoe Lewis's story was the subject of last year's bestseller Barracoon by Zora Neale Hurston, published after her death. And the discovery last month of the shipwreck in the Mobile River is bringing new attention.
Well, good morning. My name's Eric Finley. I'm going to be your docent today.
Eric Finley leads tours for the Dora Franklin Finley African American Heritage Trail in Mobile. He drives a van along the riverfront where the schooner, the Clotilde, smuggled enslaved Africans more than 50 years after the U.S. had outlawed the slave trade.
It was the result of a rich white plantation owner in this area that we're going to, and he made a bet with another rich white plantation owner that he could bring in 100 illegal individuals.
The story goes the plantation owner, a wealthy shipbuilder and businessman named Timothy Mayer, hired a captain to make the trip to what is now the country of Benin, Africa. Back in U.S. waters, the slaves were hidden in inland swamps. The Clotilde was scuttled upriver and set afire to hide any evidence. Federal prosecutors opened an investigation, but never brought the case to trial with the impending civil war.
It is a very difficult story.
Joycelyn Davis is a sixth-generation Clotilde descendant.
My family was brought over illegally, on a bed, naked.
Davis said she heard stories about the Clotilde growing up in Africatown, but didn't really embrace it.
Honestly, I was a little ashamed about the story.
Partly because what she was told about the role of Africans in the slave trade.
There was a dispute between two tribes, our own people, and they sold us. You know, that's the shame that I had.
Now Davis is working to preserve the history here, but says there are obstacles. Africatown is surrounded by a paper mill, chemical plants, and oil storage tanks. It's bordered on three sides by water, including the Mobile River. Residents have filed a lawsuit over industrial pollution. Joycelyn Davis crosses the major highway that now cuts through the middle of Africatown to a sloping hillside where sprawling oak trees shade gray stone grave markers.
The old cemetery faces east. Because one thing that Cudjoe and the other survivors of the Clotilde, they all wanted to go back home to Africa. So the cemetery faces east towards Africa.
Davis says after emancipation, Timothy Mayer would not provide his former slaves passage back to Africa. They continued to work on plantations and at his paper mill to earn money to buy the land that became Africatown. Mayer's descendants still own the surrounding property, and there's a Mayer State Park named for the family on Mobile Bay.
Everything around here belongs to them. You know, so they have been ever present all of my life.
Descendants of Timothy Mayer declined to speak about the discovery of the Clotilde. Davis and other descendants of the enslaved Africans say they'd like to meet with the Mayer family to hear their side of history.
I'm Darren Patterson. I'm a Clotilda descendant. Polly Allen was my great-great-grandfather,
who helped found Africatown. In his 60s now, Patterson has seen the community struggle since he was a child.
It's not what it used to be. When I was small and growing up, it was a community that was self-contained. We had stores and barbershops and post offices, you know, and gas stations and drug stores. And over the years, like many other communities, it's seen a share of downtimes.
The commerce is gone now, and you see boarded up homes and vacant lots in the neighborhood. The population has declined from about 12,000 in the 1960s to less than 2,000 today. In 2012, Africatown was listed on the National Register of Historic Places, but little came of the designation. Now, Patterson is hopeful the blight and neglect will end with the discovery of the ship.
The pride now that is being regenerated by what's happened with the Clotilda is amazing.
There's talk of redeveloping the town and opening a museum to house a replica of the Clotilda. The state has allocated $3.5 million from its BP oil spill settlement to build an Africatown Welcome Center. The old one was washed away by Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and the property is overrun with weeds and litter. And the National Park Service is planning a waterfront park in the community. But Patterson says revitalization isn't enough.
What justice now? If there was a lack of evidence against Timothy Mayer then, and this boat actually turns out to be the evidence that there were slaves brought here illegally, what do we do now? There's got to be something that happens.
Mobile attorney and city judge Carlos Finley says descendants may have a case for reparations.
What the ship does is it takes this story out of the realm of lore. You see, prior to the ship being discovered, there were people who could argue that, oh, that's just old wives' tales. That didn't really happen.
The shipwreck remains in the murky waters of the Mobile River, under guard now, an irreplaceable cultural treasure, according to the Alabama Historical Commission. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Mobile.
With all the news happening every day, it can be hard to keep up. You can check out our podcast up first, though. You'll get the day's biggest stories in about 10 minutes. It's available every weekday morning, wherever you get your podcasts.